Here we go. 11:06. Got to get in that wagon, Tom. What are you gonna say? Let's head on back to the barn. After spreading 2 hours of manure, I'm tired. It's Tuesday. It's my chance and my opportunity to take care of little bits and pieces that are left over. We scrape out the manure and have it in. Oh, that's refreshing. All right. By the way, quick news at 11:30. Bob Skelton, Tom.
Yes, your favorite.
Somebody coming in here talking about Robinson Cano. Wow. Cano said, I want to earn every penny I get. Hold on. Cano said the spring training. He says, I don't want to be like those guys. 2 or 3 years into the contract, really don't do any good. They don't seem to care anymore. I do care. I love this game so much. This is what I dreamed about when I was a kid. When I retire, I want to miss the game. I want to say that I gave it everything I had. He talked about the fact that he says, you know, if you work hard, you tell your body that you're ready to go. Not like the guys that start sitting around and gaining weight. They don't care. I have fans out there. I have my son. I have to be a good example. I feel comfortable now because I've got the money, but the money's not everything. That's what Cano said. This is from the New York Times back in April when he was asked about, you know, how he's looking forward to coming into this game.
Well, he famously came from the Yankees, and it was like, wow, are the Mariners are serious. It was the biggest contract I think we've ever signed, mm-hmm. and it was like amazing. And he's done, you know, pretty well, and we're having a good season. And now out, I mean, his hand is hurt. I don't know if the 80 games includes the games he's going to miss because of his hand or if it starts after that, but... That, I mean, if this is all, you know, to be taken as gospel truth, that this is indeed what he's doing, it's 34 years old.
34 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the pressure of for anybody, I don't know, they say that he's suspected of it, right, of steroids.
Yes.
But the pressure that goes into it, make all that money, and, you know, your body begins to age, and you start to realize, hey, why not do a little something to give myself just somewhat of an advantage and not get caught?
Well, that's what A-Rod did. The amazing thing is that A-Rod was on top of the world when he moved from Seattle for, you know, King's Ransom to go to Texas. But he said the King's Ransom was what made him start taking, you know, steroids because he felt so much pressure to fulfill. It's like, oh, my God, this guy proved to be a superstar without it. And it was the very pressure.
It's like a Greek tragedy, Tom.
You bet.
Yes. All right. As I mentioned, a big plate of crow will be served to the City Council of Seattle. For those who hate all those liberals that have been elected into those positions, you'll like the fact that when they announced that they wanted to get rid of Wells Fargo, because Wells Fargo, along with Citibank and a bunch of others, bankers, were providing capital for the pipeline.
Dakota Pipeline.
Yeah, they had a big problem with. The city said, you know what? We're not going to do business with Wells Fargo anymore.
We'll show
Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
100 years they've been around. Selling people stuff they don't need. We're going to show those.
Illegal.
That's not fair. They've turned things around. I heard an ad on the radio. Yes. I believe everything I hear on the radio. Right. And they're watching their P's and Q's. They're going to get the reputation back in. So the city says, that's it. Yep. No longer doing business with Wells Fargo. We'll find another bank that we can run our business through.
That's right. And after a few months of looking around, Seattle City Council decided, you know what the best bank to do business with? How about Wells Fargo?
Yeah, Wells Fargo.
they shopped around to various banks, and no, they could not get any banks to nibble.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Morgan had its own problems. People protesting them, and Wells Fargo was happy to go back into business with us. They've had a lot of people withdraw from Wells Fargo, not for the Dakota Pipeline, but for their. You know that
they fired 5,400 people.
Is that right? Yeah, for their illegalities in the past, and so they're happy to do business. And Seattle says, "Yeah, this is the best deal that we have." And so, despite all of our holier than thou, take the high road approach, we have bigger issues than just the bottom line. They realize that they would have no bottom line without it, and so they now are doing a full business back again with Wells Fargo.
Oh, too bad. All right.
About $3 billion the city cycles through Wells Fargo.
Right. That's mostly parking tickets.
No, but it does include parking meter money. Yes, you're right.
Thank you. If you want to avoid the crazy housing market and you don't mind living in about 80 square feet and living in something that smells like an old saxophone case, you could live on a boat.
Are you going to call them S boats?
No. Okay. I'm just saying, you get yourself a boat you get yourself a boat for like $20,000, right?
Yeah.
Or even, well, maybe if the thing still floats. And the problem is that you got to find some place. Shilshol, Yeah. That's where a friend of mine said, hey, if you want to get a boat and live on a boat, that's you want to go to Shilshol.
Yeah. Well, and the idea is there's always been a kind of lure here. There are houseboats, and then there are people that literally live on boats.
Known as liveaboards.
Yeah, liveaboards, that's right. And it's always had a kind of appeal, and it's not the most luxurious of lifestyles, but you do have unbelievable views, mm-hmm. and you're on the water and all this, so it right. has this real appeal. So it's always been a part of Seattle's history to have these. And now it's becoming even more and more pressing for some people to try that, go that avenue, because housing prices are through the roof. Mm-hmm. You can live in Ballard on a boat
yes.
for a heck of a lot cheaper than it would cost to have a condo or a house in Ballard itself. And so there's a big push to do more there. And the marina says, unfortunately, or fortunately for the people that are already there, we are not expanding. Mm-hmm. We take a waiting list, and usually the waiting list is like up to a year. It's now between 1 and 3 years. Mm-hmm. So people that are hoping to, oh, good, I can still stay in Seattle and live a particular kind of lifestyle, that's not really no longer an option. It's just it's a longer and longer down the road option because you have to wait a long time.
They charge you by the length of the boat.
Is that how it works?
I looked at it. I think it was $600 or $700 a month.
$750 a month for a guy who has a 42-foot slip.
There you go. Yeah. The Shilshol is great because they've showers and they've got washer and dryer and you're right there conveniently
yeah,
located and near everything.
And they're going through an upgrade of those right now. And the couple that's profiled, they spent $14,000 on their boat as a fixer-upper,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're living the lifestyle. So if you got $14,000, nice little down payment, mm-hmm. in effect.
It's great.
And $750 a month, you know, that's a life.
If you don't mind that your arm hair smells like diesel, that might be a positive. I don't know. School districts increasingly looking to hire teachers because there is a shortage. And they are looking to hire foreign teachers to fill the shortages. That's one part of the story. But I thought the most interesting one was the Indonesian double salary that was
yeah.
done, right?
Yeah, so there are a lot of cultural differences. We have to kind of put this in context. A lot of cultural differences between teachers in the United States and teachers in Indonesia.
Okay.
That teachers already, even before this this experimental evidence, as they call it, teachers were paid better and were given more respect in Indonesian society than they say they are here in this particular neck of the woods called the United States. But they doubled the salaries for teachers. And so this research brief and economic policy paper said, so we're going to look at what happens to them. One of the issues that's often brought up in this country is, what if we paid teachers more? Would it attract, you know, a higher grade of people, or uh-huh. would they be able to do better work and all this? And so is the salary an issue for teachers? In Indonesia, they did this study. They doubled their salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the end effect, just jumping to the conclusion, the end effect was the teachers were happier. A lot of them didn't need as many second jobs
mm-hmm.
as they used to. So there was a higher degree of satisfaction among teachers. But in terms of the impact in the classroom, it didn't seem to have a significant effect. It said, yeah, things are a little better here and a little better there. But overall, they said that like student tests.
Performance, right.
Student performance wasn't really increased that much. And the teachers didn't do anything more, when they were paid more. The idea was they were going to give this a double salary. And so the lesson from that is that teachers in Indonesia are like CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
they get double the pay, but there's no corresponding only if these things happen.
Well, it was a closed group. That was the problem with that study. So they weren't
yes.
able to attract new people.
Right.
The burnout rate, I forget what it is. It's what the average teacher lasts two and a half years, and then they leave.
In this country.
Yeah, and yes. it's a series yes. of problems. One is they find that the classroom is too confining, or at least they don't like how administrators sort of curtail their teaching style. They also say the hours are longer than expected, and they don't like to deal with the kids and the discipline problem. So they just, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. So they end up bailing on the thing. The question is, if you raise the salary to $100,000 a year, would you attract a different type of person? And would you also increase retention? Because really it gets down to quality of the teacher equals quality of the education equals a more qualified student to go into the workforce, right?
Yeah. And it may be that, you know, again, we don't have these kinds of countries doing these sort of guinea pig countries for us to look at experiments. But what if you, instead of doubling the salary, you have the number of students in class, for instance? Mm-hmm. Would that change the impact on the students? There are a lot of various factors. But
you'd get the same thing then, Tom. So your cost would be twice, right? So you have two teachers both making $60,000 instead of one teacher making 120 and teaching 25 kids.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, if we are, and again, there are a lot of different ways to look at value of jobs in society. But if you just look at what is the best way for our kids to get educated, you know, I mean, maybe one-on-one would be the best, but we can't afford it. Then you have to find that balance of, okay, if you have 15 kids in a classroom versus 30 kids in a classroom, you pay a teacher twice to teach 30, that might not be as effective as, having a half and half. So anyway, it's just one of those experiments they tried. By the way, these teachers that you had to go, they didn't just get the double pay just for because they existed. They had to go through a certification process, but they were saying, "Yeah, let's see how this works."
And the last part of the conversation always ends up with, "Okay, then let's have some metrics to determine who's teaching well." Don't have them just teach and then point to the test that the kids take and say, well, look at this. This is a good teacher. Because then the teachers, like regular human beings, then start to respond to the incentive of, I'll teach to the test.
I know.
I mean, that's so unfair. Yeah. But who's supposed to come in there, watch the teacher teach, and then say, okay, you're doing a good job and you're not doing a good job. What are the metrics by determining what the quality of the work is?
Absolutely. And that's what makes something like education so difficult to gauge.
And the last part of the teacher's discussion is those that are paying out of pocket to pay for their own supplies. The numbers bounce all over the place, but what do they spend every single year on, from copier paper or construction paper or glue or anything else they might need in the classroom.
Sometimes even shoes. So it's just they average just under $500 a year, something like $476. The weird thing, although it's not surprising, unfortunately, the teachers that are teaching the poorest students often are the ones that pay the most. And elementary school teachers out of pocket, and elementary school teachers more out of pocket than high school teachers do. And it's just one of those unfortunate things about teachers. If they care about their students, they do whatever they can, and it often comes out of their own pockets. If you know the amount of money they get paid is always an issue, but then whether they get paid or not. In fact, some of the lower paying teachers often are the ones teaching in the poorest districts. They're the ones that spend the most money. Congress did acknowledge this. It was, the senator from Maine who came up with this proposal in 2002 to compensate if it's applied for $250. There's now a Democrat in Congress who's proposing maybe we look at it at compensating for up to $500.
Tax deductible. So when you fill out your income tax as a teacher, you would put in there that I spent $500.
Oh, it's just tax. You don't get the money back. You don't get a refund.
You don't have to pay in taxes. Okay. So they don't take it. They're basically taking your top number and reducing it. So, and it, $250 right now is what you can take off. All right. There you go.
But, you know, we went by quickly, but that idea, that is interesting. We have a J visa program to hire teachers from foreign countries to come here, like in the Philippines. And that's kind of a concern because now there are more and more, some of these states that have had these teachers protesting, they're doing more and more recruiting because the teachers from Philippines are happy to get paid less than the teachers here because it's more than the teachers would get paid there. And so they said they're actually using that as a pipeline to undercut teachers' claims.
I was talking to Charlie yesterday. We went out and had dinner with my daughter, and she was complaining about one teacher. I said, Chuck, think of all the skills that you have to have in order to be a teacher. One, you have to know the topic in and out. Then you also have to be a performer of sorts, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have that ability to stand up in front of a bunch of really bratty teenagers who don't want to be there. So you got to motivate them to listen and to learn, and then you have to pick out each one of these personalities and almost like a psychiatrist learn how to deal with each one. Like you have a series of keys on your belt. You got to unlock each one of these personalities to get the kid to respond to the material that you're trying to teach. I said, think about how many people you know would have all of those qualities together. So through your entire career in school, and it is a career because it's a job, is that you probably only find maybe two teachers that that have all of those qualities combined. Don't you agree, Tom? That
for you,
what's
for
that?
Her? I mean, the idea is that not every different teachers. I had like the greatest teacher in the history of teachers.
Who was it?
It was William Taylor, Bill Taylor at Seattle University.
Uh-huh.
Great English teacher. And I was stunned to find out that other people didn't think he was the greatest. And it all depends on your personality. There's some teachers can, you know, can have great impact on you. Mm-hmm. And they do that because they click with you, but they might not click with somebody else. Somebody thought, you know, that teacher was too this way or too that way. So uh-huh. even if you're the perfect teacher, you're not the perfect teacher for everybody.
Yeah. I always saw one teacher that was always Mr. Sullivan, and everybody loved him. Everybody loved Mr. Sullivan, regardless of who you were, because he had this sort of air of authority, but at the same time, he had a great personality in that he was funny, and he could rib with certain kids, and he kept everybody in line and under control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you might find that there was one shy kid in the back who didn't feel comfortable. I mean, so there's always that. But I'm happy to hear that you were taking that tone, because a lot of parents, I think, and the kids love it, just side with the kid and go, yeah, that teacher this and that teacher that, and they're not fair to you. I love the fact that you can see the complexity of what that teacher's doing. Now, the teacher could be a lousy teacher
Could be.
Yes.
Right.
But just to give your kid that kind of perspective. Listen, their job is a lot more complicated than just their one-on-one that you feel toward them.
Right. Recycling, basically, we're running out of room. China's no longer buying
China.
China's not buying our cardboard anymore. And I felt it's funny because that they've also done is they said they don't like the contaminant in the cardboard. So immediately I thought of the pizza boxes that we get, and we don't remove the cheese from the lid, and it hardens on there. Coagulation, Tom, occurs. And then we take that, we throw that into the recycling bin, and then China goes, no, we don't want your pizza box with the cheese on top. So they have increased the standard by which they will receive cardboard. Plus, they're not paying as much for it. So now there's an entire buildup of all of this unused paper and cardboard. And the biggest problem seems to also be what's heading into the landfills.
Yeah, it's completely undercutting the recycling business. People used to pay us, meaning the government or the waste collectors in the various jurisdictions. They used to pay us to take, you know, our recycled stuff because they could make a profit, $150 million they could make on, giving it to China or selling it to China. Now China says they don't want it. So now there are jurisdictions, city and local governments that are now having to pay people to take our recycling off our hands. And they say that's really flipped. Why is that? China is a developing country, and so they need a lot of these crude materials that we don't really need in this country. But they say that's starting to wear out, and because of the clash, the trade war, implications between Donald Trump and Xi in China, that they've said, you know what, we're gonna put a hold on this. We don't want it. You guys figure it out and realize we don't have landfills to take all this stuff. We've got to reimagine how to handle the recycling industry. By the way, you mentioned your pizza box. Now, at least in Seattle, we have to put our pizza box in with our lawn, like our grass clippings.
Oh, really?
Separate that from the actual recycling because it is considered contaminated and dirty. And now China has higher standards for what they will take. And maybe they're trying to adjust to that. But right now, they say the whole recycling business is really faltering and could collapse if China doesn't change its tune.
Oh, good.
Good?
I'm a non-recycler.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, we got to do something with it. You're just going to keep it at home?
Landfill, mattresses, and phone books, and kids' diapers.
Yeah.
Newcastle Golf Course, Tom. Beautiful golf course. They've got two beautiful courses there. Built on a landfill.
Yeah, okay. So you're proposing to refill it? No more golf course.
Make some more landfills.
Yeah, okay.
Make some more golf courses.
Why is that golf course so high in the air? Because it's sitting on a double the landfill.
Right back. Land in the trap, you're going to swing through and you hit a big thing of dirty diapers. Here we go. Write to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Tom's got a lot of learning to do. Apparently the people are... You've raised some hackles out there, Tom. You okay with that?
That's my job here, right?
That's right. And Andrew's job, filling in for Patrick, was when the news broke about Cano, I said, hurry up, get somebody who knows something. Bob Stelton.
Hey, you got it right.
I've been practicing.
You got it right.
I went to class. Stelton, so the news breaks. Ursula had
710 ESPN, by the way.
Everybody knows who Buff's
Tacos. I know, but we just still need to properly introduce
him. Come on, I'm nationwide. You know this.
Okay. So,
is this what Tom was studying, by the way? I walked by the newsroom, and he was diligently just face buried in the computer.
No, I was actually looking up VR. I'm going to go do a VR virtual reality experiment for this for SIFF. Yeah. Seattle International Film Festival in about half an hour.
We're talking sports.
Okay.
Bob asked me.
Okay. I thought he was doing some Cano research.
No. So Cano, he was in the news because he wicked hit to the hand. You actually heard it, and he was going to be out for, they thought, 6 to 8 weeks or something.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Hadn't officially said, but that was the assumption. Okay. Right? Okay. We were waiting. Today was going to be the day we heard, all right, he went to have the hand examined, and we were waiting to hear how long will he be out? Is he going to need surgery? Are they just going to put a cast on it? You know, we were going to get details today. We got different details.
Yeah, well now the injury's irrelevant.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Unbelievable.
Yes, it is, Tom.
So basically.
What did they find? Yeah.
They found him, he took a banned diuretic.
Okay.
So it's not steroids for everybody. The initial reports were PEDs, and now everybody's come out with reports clarifying that it's a diuretic but can be used as a masking agent.
Mm-hmm.
So they treat it as a steroid, as a PED, but it's actually not a steroid.
Right.
Okay. So
Bob was explaining that it causes you to actually get rid of more of your urine, so you're just constantly pushing water through your system. Flushing out the system.
Okay. And why would you take that if you're not masking?
They have not been specific about what his medical ailment, as he said. He released a statement. He said the substance was given to me by a licensed doctor in the Dominican Republic to treat a medical ailment. While I did not realize at the time I was given a medication that was banned, I obviously now wish that I had been more careful.
Mm.
Okay.
Take that for what you will.
People take diuretics so that they can feel faint and dehydrated.
He wanted to lean out. He wanted to look cut. You want to look like Curly here.
So,
Hey, I'm not on anything.
Yeah. The key, though, here is... How suspicious should we be of somebody doing something illegal? Because that is, I got to tell you, just as a general fan, none of us believe our athletes anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, they've all sort of lost the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So, because in a sense, a lot of them are complicit. They've played with guys knowingly that have been doing this. Not that I expect everybody to rat on each other, but, Cano's been around when A-Rod was getting busted and when Manny Ramirez was getting busted and all these different players were getting popped for things. You know, these guys aren't in the dark. They understand what's happening. Now, the other side of it is he's not a power hitter. Yeah, he had one big season, 39 home runs, best of his career, but typically not known as a power hitter. He's a line drive hitter. He's an older player. There's nothing in his game that changed dramatically where he went, okay, that not like Barry Bonds,
right,
who had never hit 50 home runs in his life, and then at the ripe old age of, 37, he hit 73, and his head was three sizes bigger than it ever was. They were using his helmet as a hot tub in the locker room, for God's sakes. But so Cano didn't have any of those red flags where you went, wait a minute, how does this guy all of a sudden hit 55 home runs?
And there wasn't any kind of whispering campaign about him when he came over from the Yankees 5 years ago.
Not a peep.
How often does the MLB actually test these guys? Is it random blood tests?
It's random. Yeah,
okay.
It's random. So, and listen, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I don't know what his intent was. For a guy that's been playing as long as he has, the idea that all of a sudden he'd say, yeah, you know what? I'd like to try this.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. If his game had dipped dramatically, then you could see desperation. All right, I need to get back up to close to what I was. But none of that happened. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. And guys have taken things from the Dominican Republic before where obviously it's not as stringent in terms of what they're using, what they're prescribing. So I'm not making an excuse. Only he knows the truth. But I'm just...
He's from the Dominican Republic, right? So it's not like he went out of his way to go to some foreign country.
No, he's from there. He goes there every year. He's in, according to the story, it's a licensed doctor there. Mm-hmm. It is a diuretic. It is not a steroid. I just want to make that part of it clear.
As Tom brought up before the commercial break, that it was A-Rod talked about the golden handcuffs that he got when he went to Texas and he started to realize, I'm getting paid all this money. I've got to do something to be able to perform. Or I feel guilty about taking the money and not being able to have it show up on the scoreboard.
That's when he started taking steroids.
Now he felt the pressure to live up to that deal, whereas Cano's been here for five years now.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge deal, but
and he's lived up to it to this point.
Yeah.
And he's been tested to this point. So it's not a situation where all of a sudden, what? I make a lot of money. I better live up to this.
Is there a chance, though, that he's been on it? He just hasn't gotten caught. And now, year five, he finally got caught?
If he's been on it, why wouldn't he have been caught before, though?
I don't know enough about these drug tests. So,
And that's the other part. And maybe he had been flushing it out in time. I don't. I mean, who knows? But. His game doesn't say that. You often see a spike in somebody's performance that seems a little unnatural, especially when they're at an advanced baseball age.
So he hasn't had that. How does this affect his contract now? I mean, he loses
$11 million.
Is that right?
He does not get paid for the 80 games he'll miss. It amounts to $11 million. Also, if the Mariners were so fortunate as to find themselves in the postseason, he would not be allowed to play.
So the suspension does not begin until after he's recovered from the
medical. No, it begins immediately.
It begins now.
Immediately.
Yeah, that's
immediately.
What I mean. So injuries irrelevant, but we could, even if we made it to the playoffs, and we are playing well enough that it's not outside the realm of possibility that we'd make the playoffs.
He can't play.
How huge a blow is that? I mean, he's our star player. Yeah.
It's massive.
So the Mariners, no playoffs this year. Are you willing to go out
there? Ichiro comes back?
He's your new second baseman, Ichiro Suzuki.
Oh, wow.
At 45 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a massive blow because he's an everything guy. He has not made an error this year. He's not made an error. He's been playing stellar defense.
He just made a big one.
Well, this is a big, yeah. You're right. Off the field,
yeah.
He's been as solid as anybody in the lineup. I mean, he's your leader in that clubhouse.
Oh my God.
It's a huge blow.
Here's the last hit he got.
Oh my goodness!
Hit on the hand.
Oh, that hurts. That does not look good or sound good. It's a two-seam fastball trying to run it inside. That's right on the back of his hand. You could hear the sound of it, and I was hoping that part of it was off of the knob of the bat, but that clearly was right on the back of his hand. That's it for Robbie.
That's
an awful sound.
Oh my goodness!
Sorry.
Yeah, that's not a bat. That's bone.
Not the bat. Yeah, we clarified
that.
Yesterday's
the bat.
That's got to be the bat.
That's ball on bone.
Oh my
God! That's ball on bone. And for anybody, by the way, this is the timing of this. You know, injury and all that. Coincidental.
Okay.
This was already pending.
Yeah.
This situation with the dirty test was already pending.
Is there any reason for the contract to be adjusted because of this? Like, are there some kind of clauses that a team signs you, but if you are caught with, you know, any illegal substances, we can void part of the contract?
You know, I don't think they've got that written into his contract. Okay. I mean, every contract's unique. Yeah. I haven't heard anything. I don't know the particulars of his deal. All I've seen is that he will lose $11 million. Okay. Because of these 80 games he's going to miss.
Thank you, Bob.
You got it, guys.
710 ESPN, but let's get back to your normal job.
Let's talk about some good stuff next time, huh? Some good news.
What is that going to be about?
Golden State Warriors.
We're seeing Jim Harbaugh saying that players should be paid, compensated for their work, but down the road after they graduate from college. You about that?
I didn't. He's a goofy guy. He's a goofy guy.
John
doesn't surprise
off
me.
With him, just great.
I saw him on
Friday.
That
makes sense. That makes sense.
We'll be right back.
See you guys.
Thanks, Buckies. If you get a car from Doug's Linwood Mazda, you can take it to Bucky's if you ever need any service. Then you can drive it over to your mortgage. It's yourself a mortgage. We got you coming and going over here. Here comes the mailman. Hey, mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yes, he does. Thank you, mailman. Hey, teeny tiny lady. How you doing today? Is a new dress? Hi, teeny tiny lady.
Hello!
Oh, there we are. Okay. She couldn't answer whether it's a new dress or not.
She had to look. Wait a minute. What did I put on?
Corner. She's going to tell us about the letter of the day. Let's get started.
I'm going to start off with everyone's favorite city council member, Shama Sawant.
Oh, yeah.
206 says, stop! I can't stand her voice. Mm. No more Sawant clips. God.
And what's West Larry in West Seattle say, Tom?
Please extend the old Tom and Curly rule of playing elevator music over Shama Sawant's rhetoric to all of Seattle City Council.
I forgot that was the rule.
The tax that we are demanding, $150 million a year from the largest 5 to 10 corporations, is pocket change for corporations like Amazon.
I can still hear it.
We need more music.
We need louder elevator
more
music.
Take my elevator, be louder than Shama Sawant. Here we go.
The tax that we are demanding, $150 million a year from the largest financial corporations, is pocket change for corporations like Amazon.
There we go. Thank you, Larry. Forgot about about that.
Yeah.
All right, good.
See, she's not so bad.
Yeah, 425. Tom elegantly stated the principle behind the 10th Amendment, so he agrees. Obamacare and most other federal programs are unconstitutional, right?
So, as I want to point out, I eloquently stated the principle behind the 10th Amendment. Thank you.
There's more, dot, dot, dot. Here we go. Getting sued.
Getting sued. A nice crack, 425. Mm-hmm. Getting sued for texting someone while they're driving. Oh, this issue got a lot of response. Joe and Puella. The individual behind the wheel, the individual that is so addicted to a hands-on phone / social media that they can't turn it off and put it in the glove box for the duration of the drive, is to blame. Mm-hmm. There isn't a single message that's worth your life or anybody else's. I can't imagine apologizing to a family over the death of one of their loved ones because of a meaningless text.
Heidi in Redondo says, hey, John, can you say that ha-ha-ha blind driver again? Thanks. Okay. Thanks for taking the time to write that in, Heidi.
And a 253, would you want your dentist or your surgeon on the phone talking or texting while they were working on you? Think about it. Can you imagine? Would you feel comfortable? Thank you. You goofy guys are the only reason I turn on my radio every day.
There you go. Yeah. Tune in for the Goof 206. So, John, you're held liable if you get in an accident because you're encouraging us to text and email 98973. No, it's pull over and text safely, yes.
We just trust Tom and Curly listeners to know that.
Yes, we do.
On the panhandling profits business, 425, fine show today. Mm-hmm. Right after I'm finished playing blind driving, I think I may switch careers, almost $25 an hour. I can start when I want and leave when I want. Don't have to shave. Don't have to shower. Sure, I may have some competition from one exit to the next, but hey, I'll be the boss.
And Stu in Burbank says, which pays more, panhandling or working as a producer for the Tom and Curly Show?
And 206, when I worked at the Four Seasons Hotel, now the Fairmont, there was a panhandler that stood out front every day with crocodile tears. It wasn't a good look for the hotel, so we offered her many jobs, which she declined every time. One day, someone followed her to her car. She drove her brand new BMW.
I am a homeless vet, says 360. I love Cairo Radio, but I'm sick of all the talk about homeless and panhandling. Just because one person makes 20-something an hour doesn't mean that everyone does. I also panhandle. There are some days it's great, and you do make a lot, but there are other days that you don't make a cent.
That's right. On the CEO pay issue?
Yes.
Linda in Bellingham? President Trump wasn't a genuine CEO. He didn't run a major public corporation with shareholders and a board of directors that could hold him to account. Instead, he was the head of a family-owned private web of enterprises. Regardless of the title he gave himself, he was never a CEO.
Okay, and Paul in Woodinville. Hey, guys. Long time no email. Tom, I'll tell you why CEO's pay is not tied to stock price. It's the scene from Fight Club where Ed Norton's character is blackmailing his boss for corporate sponsorship and uses the argument that he won't tell anyone of all the things that he knows that go on in the company. CEOs know too much. They get their hush money. It's great to be on the good old boy club, ain't it? Okay, and that's Paul in Woodinville with that one.
Very good on the yes.
Oh, lots of head text.
Yeah, head text stuff. I'm going to
job text.
I'm going to do this 360 one. It's good. Here's what we get from the head text in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. One guy says, we should shoot ourselves in the foot with a Colt 45. The other guy says, no, I don't think that's a good idea. So the first guy says, all right, then, let's compromise. Let's shoot ourselves in the foot with a 22. That's what the city council just agreed to.
There you go. Tom is normally completely in outer space, but today he's entered a new delusional galaxy. Did you know that, Tom?
As long as you're with me, John, I'll go anywhere.
Fine. He spent more money on homelessness and statistically have more homeless. According to Tom, that isn't cause and effect.
No, it isn't.
No.
It could be, but it needn't be. Causation. Not there.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
How people end up homeless in Seattle. 253.
Okay.
John, you have a good heart.
Oh, thank
but
you.
Don't see what's really going on for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
People like me. I became homeless when my fiancé beat me severely. He ended up getting 6 years in prison, but he was paying the bills at the time. I had no way to pay for rent and food. I had offers to trade sexual favors for rent, which I declined. So I became homeless. I was terrified, vulnerable, and confused. And I used the resources that were available. Things like soup kitchens and shelters 2 years. I am now in an apartment of my own, self-sufficient and proud. I'm not a mooch. I'm a woman who needed some help and understanding, not to be labeled and judged.
Congratulations.
From Christina and Graham.
Took responsibility.
Excellent, Christina. And good luck to you.
All right.
And
do it again tomorrow?
You bet, John.
All
even
right,
better.
Con, you go to another galaxy.
Who else can I anger?
Out of time. Bye-bye.